I'm excited for the Word today. Amen. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to have it on PowerPoint as well. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. We started this last Sunday on the Lord's Prayer. And this is, we're learning how to pray with Jesus. And we're taking it line by line and going through this. And this is an apostolic prayer. Jesus was the chief apostle. It's apostolic, it's prophetic, it's pastoral, it's evangelistic, it's teacher, it's got all the fivefold gifts in it, this prayer. And it's a model prayer. You can pray it, just like, you know, some of you haven't memorized. I know Janice came up to me after church on Sunday, and God, please let this happen again. Is she said, Mark, I learned it when I was in first grade. They taught it in school. Let's get it back in school. Amen. One lady took prayer and all that stuff out of school. I thank the body of Christ and get it back in there. Amen. And so that's, we were talking about where we learned the Lord's Prayer. Jennifer said what I was thinking. I learned it in the locker room when I was a freshman. It's where I learned that. And praying before ball games. And so we're going to get into this again. Last week we talked, if you was here last week, if not, you can go online. I want to thank Travis for doing our podcast and putting it online. You can go back and listen to it, but we just really talked about that first line is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was the first time people heard the word Father. Most of the time it was, in the Old Testament, it was God, and it was like God's this far-off person, and Jesus said, no, he's our Father, and made it family-oriented and saying we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he's our Father. And so we talked about that last Sunday, and today we're going to talk about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the second phrase. Before we do, let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is forever anointed. God, your word is everything's going to pass away but your word. Lord, and God, I just pray, Lord, that I know some of us in here, they may have been in church for length of time. They know this. They can recite this prayer. But God, give us fresh insight, fresh revelation today. Lord, I just pray that what I've been praying over all of us, including myself, is just birthing in us that hunger and that thirst for prayer, to have that relationship with you. It's not about religion, but it's about relationship. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through me today. I pray none of me and all of you speak through me today to your people. And, God, just birth this spirit of prayer within each and every one of us. And everybody said amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 6. I'm going to put it up there on the screen as well. And it says, when you pray, you shall not, this is Jesus talking, this is the Sermon on the Mount, like right in the middle of it. He said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you go, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, there's the second, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And when you study the Gospels, Jesus refers to prayer 42 times, and the Gospels record him personally praying 28 times. He had a powerful prayer life. That's where everything came from. And when I was studying this, I was thinking about the disciples. They didn't ask him about how to teach and preach. Okay, they didn't ask him how to heal the sick. They didn't ask him how to make the lame walk. They didn't ask him how to resurrect the dead. They'd been seeing all these miracles, but they knew that the power came from his time of prayer with the Father. That's what they knew, and that's why they were asking, Lord, teach us to pray. And if you like quotes, I heard this quote, and it's very powerful. It says, the absence of prayer is the presence of self-proficiency. I'll say that again. The absence of prayer is the presence of self-sufficiency. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but even in church, you think as a pastor, ministry, I'm repenting before you today, that sometimes, and we do this all the time, prayer is our last resort instead of our first thing that we go to. And prayer ought to be the first, we ought to live a life of prayer. I love this scripture in Mark 3, verse 14. It says, when he appointed the 12, how many of you know that Jesus is still appointing disciples today? You're a disciple, okay? And it says, then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him. Everybody say, be with him. And that he might send them out to preach. So before they were sent out to do the things of the kingdom or to do the will of the Father, he said, you're going to be with me first. So you need to be before you do. And a lot of times we do it backwards. We go do, and then we're like, oh, no, God, show up, you know. And he's like, no, you need to be with me before you go do. Now, when you pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've just kind of wrote this down, learned this from another pastor. This is what's going on. That phrase is so powerful. It's actually, that's a governmental prayer. That's a apostolic prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is really what you're asking. This is really what's supposed to be going on the inside of you when you pray that. Knowing God, which is the King of the kingdom, understanding God's ways, which is the ways of the kingdom. They're not like this world's. Understanding God's big story, the coming of his kingdom. Understanding where we are in that timeline, the timings of the king. Knowing our identity in Christ, who am I in his kingdom? And discovering our purpose, what am I to do? That's when you're praying that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's what's going on the inside of you right there, all that. That's power packed. You may want to take a screenshot of that, take a picture of that, but that's powerful what's going on inside of you. And so as I was thinking about this, we're in the beginnings and the start. I've been listening to other apostles and prophets that I'm connected to. We're in the beginning stages of another reformation in the church. And what happened in 2020 with COVID, God didn't send COVID, amen. But God, that song, he's turning it to the good. And it was for the body of Christ, it was a divine reset of how we're doing church and how we're doing ministry. And I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know what that looks like. I'm still praying about it. But I know that there's a harvest out there that God's ready to bring into the kingdom of God, and it's going to take every one of us in here. Here's what I want you to start doing. And I'm in a season right now of repentance, all right? For 22 years, we've been doing church here, and I'm not saying that we've done it all wrong. We've been reaching people, having baptisms and all that, but God's been speaking to me and saying, Mark, I'm doing something new, and there's a changing of the guard going on, so to speak. There's times and seasons. What happened in 2020 was like a divine reset, okay? And I don't know, you may have heard that, you know, around that divine reset. And a lot of us, we got caught up in the political world of it and started looking to a man for the divine reset. And the man is Jesus. And that's who's bringing this divine reset. And so what I want to show you today, I'm going to give you six things. I'm a teacher, so that's how I do things. Everything's, you know, the points. And so I'm going to give you six things of what's happening in God's kingdom right now, okay? And I don't have it all figured out, but this is what's happening is, number one, is there's changing times and seasons right now is going on. And in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, it says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. God, when we're in prayer, we ought to know what's going on. All right? When we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God wants us to give us insight into what's going on in the world today. The book of Daniel. I believe there's things in Daniel that's going to come out even in the days ahead. It's already started coming out because God told Daniel to shut up that scroll, and in the end it would speak. Well, we're in the end, and it's starting to speak. And so God wants us to really press into him to know what's going on, what times and seasons that we're in. But in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." The only way you're going to know those things is if you spend time with the Lord. Amen. And a lot of us pastors have had to repent because we got caught up in pulling off the Sunday show and all that stuff, and we didn't see COVID coming and how to lead the body of Christ. And so the people that I'm connected with, we're in prayer on what this reformation, how it's going to look. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And thank God for online church, especially during COVID and all those things. But we're coming into a season where people are going to really understand why they need each other. And I'm talking about face-to-face interaction, not just social media interaction. There's a place for that. You know, if you're sick, yes, stay home. Watch online, okay? I understand that. But if you can be at church, there's something that happens when you fellowship with other believers. Right now, you may not feel like it, but you're receiving strength. I love the story of, I was thinking about this story just came to me. Dwight Moody, somebody came to his house one day and was talking to him. They were having a cup of coffee together. There was a fire burning, and he told this man, and this is even before social media, and he said, he goes, "You know what, I don't need church. I don't need fellowship. I have a relationship with God. I can stay at home, read my Bible and all that." You know, and Dwight Moody didn't say anything, just looked at him and just shook his head. And he took the tongs from the for the fireplace, and he reached into the fireplace, and he got the burning coals were in there. He got a coal, and he took it out, and he set it on the front of the fireplace, the hearth, just set it there. And they sat there and continued to drink coffee and watch that coal go from burning bright to going black. And he said, "That's what happens if you don't fellowship with other believers." And I thought, man, that's powerful. And so, guys, we need each other. And we're going to, and I'm not, you might be saying, "Well, are we going to have another 2020? We're going to continue. There's birth pains happening. And they're going to get closer and closer together, just like a woman giving birth. And we're going to realize how much we need each other. I'll never forget my computer teacher back in high school was Mrs. Allen. I loved Mrs. Allen. And she's went home to be with the Lord now. But I can remember sitting down with her. I was substitute teaching one day right after we first started the church here. And I was up at the school substitute teaching, and she was in the computer room. And I got to sit down with her, and we were talking. And this was back in the early, well, we started the church in 2000. So right, I can't believe, you know, dating myself now. But anyway, I was up at the school, and we were talking. And the first thing that had come out on social media was MySpace. Anybody remember MySpace? Maybe you still have that account. You probably don't even know where it's at. I don't know where it's at. But we were talking about it, MySpace. And I can remember Mrs. Allen saying, "Mark," she goes, "it's going to be interesting to see the social impact that this online world is going to cause." And she had that insight way back then. She was already curious about it then, and here we are now. And there's a place for it, and I thank God for it. But guys, we need each other. We can't improve on what God made in a relationship and face to face. But the Lord expects us, and is changing the times and the seasons. He expects us, and it's not just leaders in the body of Christ. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But as believers, as sons and daughters, He expects us to know the times and the seasons. And the reason that we don't know the times and the seasons are this. It's because that's how we treat God, that He is our butler. Oh, my. I repent. Okay. we may say, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then we immediately go into all of our needs. And God, I need you to do this, and I need you to bring me this, and I need this, and I need that. And it's because we treat the Father like our butler. And the Father wants us to know, and I want you to get this, he doesn't just want you to know what's going to happen in the next moment or the next day, but he wants you to know what's going on over the next decade. And we're in the roaring 20s right now. There's a roaring 20s back. That's why I played that line video, is we're in the roaring 20s. The line of the tribe of Judah is roaring. And when I say that, whenever I was just meditating on, I was praying, I was like, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then I started asking God questions. I was like, "God, why did you tell us in your model prayer to us as disciples, why did you tell us to pray that next? After our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And he said, "Mark, it's because of this. If you will," Matthew 6:33, "if you will seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, then all these other things that you bring to me on a laundry list, I'll take care of them." Yeah. He said, "But I want you to seek my kingdom first." Okay, here's something else that's happening. Second thing that's happening in God's kingdom right now is there's a transition of authority going on in the giving of keys. And this is Isaiah 22, verses 20 through 22. Transition of authority in the giving of keys. It's Isaiah 22, verses 20 through 22. It says, "Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant," everybody say servant, "Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father," everybody say father, "to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open." Now, I'm going to tell you what the Father is looking for right now in the body of Christ, in his kingdom. The Father is looking for servants. He's looking for sons and daughters. He's looking for fathers and mothers. He's not looking for leaders and titles. In fact, what this divine reset that's happening on, where some people have got caught up with titles and leadership and all that, he's saying, "I want you to put down your title and pick up your towel, because the harvest is coming." So what God is doing in this hour, this transition of authority and the giving of keys, is he's restoring apostolic community that was like in the book of Acts. If you want to know what the church of the New Testament is supposed to look like, read the book of Acts. And where people are the wineskins. It's not buildings, it's not budgets, it's people. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number three. What's going on in God's kingdom? When you get concerned about what's going on in his kingdom instead of yours, when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," basically what you're saying, "Lord, your kingdom come, my kingdom go." Okay? And so what's happening is this third thing is the restoration of apostles and prophets. We're in Western church, we are really good with, you know, if you call yourself pastor, teacher, evangelist, all right? But if you start calling yourself a prophet, we're like, they're weird, you know. Or if you call yourself an apostle, then you're just a power-hungry person, right? And guys, these are governmental, these are the five office gifts that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit gives to the church to grow us up. Apostles. And the best way I like to remember what they are and the function that they have starts with the G. G stands for God. Apostles govern, prophets guide, pastors guard, teachers ground, and evangelists gather. It's a good way to remember the fivefold gifts. And we have to remember this, guys. We're in the New Testament church right now. These gifts haven't gone away, okay? They didn't go away with the original 12. God's still calling apostles. He's still calling prophets. He's still calling pastors. He's still calling teachers. He's still calling evangelists. And there's people that stand in those offices, but it's like, I know that God called me to teach his word, all right? But I stand in that office, but here's the other thing. is you're a teacher too. You may not stand where I'm standing, but you're a teacher too because you're teaching your kids at home, your grandkids or whatever. See what I'm saying? You may not be an evangelist. You may, you know, somebody may be in the office of an evangelist, but the Word says we're all to be doing the work of an evangelist. Amen. Pastors guard, you know, they guard against the flock, against the enemy. You know, you may not stand that office of a pastor, but you're guarding your kids, aren't you? Yeah. So you have that pastoral, prophets guide, apostles govern, you know, and what apostles do is they govern the spiritual atmosphere that's going on. Amen. And God's calling us to be, I'm just going to throw it out there, and I'm not going to, you know, put apostle mark. I'm not calling myself an apostle, but God is calling this church to be apostolic, meaning in this region, we're going to open the heavens, and God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen. But it's going to take all of us. It's an apostolic community, and I believe that if you've just recently came here or you've been here forever, this is the reason why you're here, is because God's creating an apostolic community here to usher in this last day move of God that's going to bring in the harvest, and we're all going to be a part of it. And I want you to start seeing yourself this way. You are not a consumer to show up on Sunday morning for the Sunday morning show. You're a minister. This is our huddle time. This is where we come together and we huddle. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. You know, we pat each other on the back, pray for one another, build each other up, hear a word from heaven, and then we go back out in the harvest. And that's where we do the signs, wonders, and miracles. Are there going to be signs? Yeah, they're going to happen here too, but they're going to happen out there as well. Because of the anointing that's fallen in this place. Now, here's Ephesians chapter 2, 23. Is everybody with me this morning? Okay, amen. Ephesians 2, verses 20 through 22 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay, the Lord is still in the process of building his church, so there's still going to be apostles and prophets. All right, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple to the Lord, in whom also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. It's not talking about a building. It's not talking about a denomination. It's talking about a people, an apostolic community. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, here it is, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Here it is. The reason why I'm called to be a pastor and a teacher is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, not for Pastor Mark to do it all. Amen. That's not why pastors are hired. A lot of churches hire pastors because they're just hirelings because they want to hire them to do all the work of the ministry. And it's robbing the people of their fulfilling and having joy in the Lord and being fulfilled, because every one of us are to be doing the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You might say, well, I want to be an apostle. No, you don't. You want to make sure God called you to be an apostle. You got to know it, because here's the deal. Apostles are great in authority, but they're least in privilege. I heard somebody say that, and I was like, man, that is powerful. And Smith Wigglesworth was an apostle, and he traversed this land. I'm wanting to study these men of God that were 200, 300 years ago that traversed this land and prayed for what we're in the season, the times and seasons that we're in right now. I remember I read something about Smith Wigglesworth that he saw what we're about to see in a vision, this last day outpouring. But Smith Wigglesworth was a man that his wife passed away. He went through lots of anguish and sorrow, but he carried an anointing that they said that I heard a story the other day that he walked into a church and he said the kids were playing and everything, and this is the kind of anointing that he walked in. Was when he walked into the room, the kingdom of God came in. The heavens opened up, kids got quiet, and the presence of God was there. And a lot of people are like, man, I want that, I want that. Well, you don't know what he walked through to get that. Yeah. And so apostles are great in authority, but they're least in privilege. Okay. And God, and what I'm saying about that is God's calling us as a body here to be that apostolic community in this area and in this region. And it's, I'm excited, guys. Number four is resurrection of the New Testament church. Resurrection of the New Testament church. And this is John 2, verses 20 through 22. And it says, then the Jews said, it has taken 46 days to build the temple, this temple. Here they are talking in the natural. And because Jesus had told them he was going to raise it up in 3 days. And you're going to raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he said risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, I want us to understand this as an apostolic community. The New Testament church is not a denomination. It's not a corporation. It's not an organization with leadership and structure and hierarchy and politics. And everybody said, amen. The New Testament church is about family. When Jesus said, our Father, he was saying, I'm building a family. And so we are sons and daughters, and then God wants us to take us from sons and daughters. You'll always be a son and daughter, but then some of you in here have already graduated to be a father and mother, and so you're going to be raising up this next generation, and it's all going to happen through relationships and where we're going to really know each other. And I'm going to say really know each other. And I can't know every one of you like I want. I know some of you, but some of you I know better because I have relationship with you. You know, Mark and I meet once a week, and God a long time ago said he's going to be one of your disciples. Long time, back in 1998, and Mark and I meet. But here's the deal about Mark. I know him, and I know the good, I know the bad, and I know the ugly. And vice versa, okay? And that's the kind of relationships that God wants you to have. And it may not be, you're not going to, I heard a pastor say this one time, I said, man, that is good. He said, I want you to see yourself like a Lego. And you only have so many, you know, like 2, 4, 6 on a Lego, those little dots. You only have so much you can put on your Lego. So that means you can only have so many of those close relationships. You don't have close, just like Jesus. Jesus had 12 disciples, and I mean, this is the Son of God, all right? But three of them, Peter, James, and John, were close to him, all right? And so he really poured into those guys. He poured into all 12. But you need to find out, who are your disciples? Who are you close to? Who does God want you to be a father and mother to? Maybe it's your children, but maybe God brings somebody across your path, a friend, somebody, and God says, You're gonna disciple him. And I know, as well as I know, my name is Mark Haney. You know, yes, I'm trying to disciple every one of you here, but there's gonna be some of you that I have close relationship with you because God says I want you to really spend time with this one, and I have to be obedient to that. Does everybody understand that? Okay, and you're gonna do the same thing as well. So God didn't call you to. What I'm trying to say is God didn't call you to disciple everybody, but he's gonna bring people across your path to be a father and a mother too. And to be a friend to, and to build relationship with, and to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about them, and not stab them in the back and throw them under the bus. And everybody said, amen. Okay. And so what God's doing is restoring this apostolic community. And here's what happens in apostolic community when we know one another, all right? We have fellowship with one another. We walk around and we say this, I love you, you're forgiven, and now let's eat together. Let's fellowship. That's apostolic community. Sound like family, doesn't it? You know, when you get around the table, you know, you may be upset. How many of you have ever been? I've been upset with my daughter several times. You know, but we still get together, and I'll say, I love you. You're forgiven. She even has to say it back to me. You're forgiven too, Dad. But let's eat. Let's have fellowship. That's church. Amen. All right. It's not going to be perfect. So, making disciples is a mess, right? Because to make disciples, you have to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about each other. And but when we do, that's where we really have fellowship and relationship, and God can do great things in that. Here's number five, and this is one that people don't like to hear. But when we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, my next point will make this clear. There's going to be a clash of kingdoms when you pray that, okay? And so it's going to be marked by persecution and suffering for you. Aren't you glad you came to church today? All right? And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says, yes, Apostle Paul says yes to Timothy, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And it's going to be more than somebody calling you a holy roller or, you know, a Jesus freak or something like that. That's part of it. But you're going to have to get to the point in your maturity, because when we first started the church here, you talk about a lot of persecution. And you have to realize it's not a person. There's a spirit behind it. My fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirit. And God showed me through a gentleman that has since went home to be with the Lord. He was had a prophetic voice, and he spoke into my life. And he said, Mark, you're going to have to stay really humble. You're going into your hometown. You're going to have to stay really humble and walk in love. And he said, and if you will do that, if you'll be obedient to that, God's going to raise up. He said, you're like carrying a football down a field. And he said, but God's going to raise up blockers in front of you. And so you got to trust that God's going to do that. And the Lord will do that for you too, whatever God's called you to do. You're going to have to stay humble, walk in love, walk in forgiveness. And as you do that, and I'm going to tell you something, humility is something that God just doesn't bestow upon you. Humility is something you have to learn and walk in and make yourself do it. Amen. Marked by persecution and suffering. Let me give you a bigger picture of the body of Christ right now. I heard this the other day at a pastor's conference that I went to, and heard from an apostle, and he has a worldview of what's going on in the church. And he said, marked by persecution and suffering, he said the fastest part of the body of Christ right now in the world is the church in Iran. And he said, but it's all, they have no budget, listen to this, no budget, no buildings, it's all underground, because it's, you know, primarily Muslim around there, and it's led by women. That's the fastest growing church of Christianity that's going on, and they are marked by persecution and suffering. Fact, listen to this. This got a hold of me, and here I am thinking, oh, and I've been called a holy roller. Good grief. Mark, go cry, you know. Some pastor had told somebody in this church that, hey, we're gonna be praying to the Father that the persecution stops. Listen to what they said. They said, don't pray for it to stop. Pray that God gives us the strength and grace to get through it, because the church is growing at a phenomenal rate of speed. More people are coming in the kingdom. And I was like, and I'm gonna tell you what, you're gonna know what you're really made of. A church will know what it's really made of. The body of Christ will know what it's really made of. You'll see it throughout the whole New Testament. They found out what they were really made of when they were going through persecution and suffering. And everybody said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And then the sixth thing is the clash of kingdoms. And Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The Apostle Paul, wherever he showed up at, things happened. You might be saying, I mean, kingdoms clashed. Things happened. People got saved, delivered, set free. But the kingdoms clashed. He got thrown in jail. All these things. He went through suffering and persecution. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament while he was in jail, in prison. And this clash of kingdoms was going on. You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I'm not called to be an apostle. Well, that's okay, but if you're going to walk godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution and suffering is going to happen. And you're going to know how to respond to it. You're going to have to be humble and pray and say, here's a phrase you're going to have to really get down in your spirit, man. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You're really going to have to know that one way down deep. That's when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And if you're like me and when you get in the flesh, you're like God, you want to be like James and John, the sons of thunder. God called down fire from heaven on them, you know. And he's saying, no, you need to walk in my spirit, be humble, lowly, gentle. Father, forgive them, for you don't know, they don't know what they're doing. And some of you say, well, Pastor Mark, I'm not going to be an apostle, but you're going to carry an apostolic anointing upon you so that when you go into your workplace, you may ruffle some feathers. And you're going to have to know how to respond in humility and love towards them. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I had a strange thing happen that just through my voice on my recorder on my phone, because on my voicemail, I say, God bless you at the end of it. Just through my voice. And I had a guy leave me a message, cussed me out, and told me not to tell him God bless you. I wanted to call him back, you know, and tell him off. And the Lord said, Mark, you just, it's not him. You just upset some demons, and you need to pray for his deliverance. That might happen. It shocked me. I was like, my gosh, I just said, God bless you, you know. And, you know, this guy just goes off on me. And don't be surprised if that happens, what I'm telling you, because what's going on is when you pray, my kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's the clash of kingdoms going on wherever you are. It's going to come through your voice. It's going to come where you're with somebody, you know. You just know that you have authority over that. But not to do it in a self-righteous way. Do it with humility and love. And everybody said, amen. Ephesians 6:12, I believe it is. Just remember, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. There's spirits behind all this. Everybody learn something today? All right, guys, I'm excited about the days ahead. God is He is restoring the New Testament church, resurrecting it in this hour, and God's calling our church to be an apostolic community. Every one of you are going to carry this anointing that I talked about today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wherever you go, you're bringing God's kingdom. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer. I know most of you in here just want to make sure, do this every Sunday. Like I say, this every Sunday for those, and even those that are watching online. I call this the salvation prayer. I want to lead you in it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I want you to, even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is to follow the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday, and maybe you've never done it before. I encourage you to get her done, okay? And Jada, will you come up here with me? And we're going to speak a blessing over you guys. And I want everybody to stand up. And if you're there with family, I want you to join hands with them, okay? We're going to speak this blessing over you guys. And if you need special prayer after service, please get with us. We will pray with you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, His kingdom has came. Amen. Okay. Amen.